Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Or not, it's Keith Pointer. Bob's doing Bob things today, and I get to fill in, sit in the chair for an hour or so. Nikki V will be along, and we're going to talk about a few things. It seems like there might be a few legal issues percolating over on Floyd Street. What do you think?
God, I hope so.
You know, the question, you know, yesterday afternoon, you've got board of trustees, special meetings and special sessions and things like that, and closed sessions and all of that. And then today you chase that with the EULA meeting, the Athletic Association meeting, where they call a special meeting and they have a closed session and things like that. And Tim Sullivan's doing the Lord's work out there. He's banging the drum for transparency, and he's doing it in a pretty visible manner. Everybody who was there that was tweeting about it was talking about, you know, Tim's objected to the fact that this hasn't been held open. And you know, it fell on deaf ears. They still went to the closed session anyway. So, you know, my initial knee-jerk reaction was, yeah, Tim, sorry, you missed it on the open records and the open meeting bit. And then I thought about it a little bit, and that's not exactly true, but it may be. So the reality of it is we don't know what they were talking about, but what we do know is what the law says and kind of what they were using it. So then you have to kind of peer into the law a little bit in order to try and discern what is it that they're talking about. Let's travel back to yesterday, if you don't mind. I brought some paperwork from the office here. Yesterday at the the Board of Trustees meeting, called at 5 o'clock. They have their call to order. They do the affirmation that there are no conflicts of interest. They approve the minutes from yesterday's or from the previous meeting on October 29th. Then they make a motion to recess into executive session. Now, this is really, really, really boring legal stuff, right? But they make a motion to recess into executive session pursuant to Kentucky Revised Statute 61.810, subsection 1, subsection F. Well, that's exciting. What the hell does that mean? 61. And the reason I say that is because if you're going to go into closed session, you have to stipulate the reason that you went into closed session. Nick, what's up?
Hi, Keith. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm boring the listeners to sleep with statutes. You tuned in at just the right time.
Oh, well, lovely.
So they go into executive session, and they do it pursuant to a particular statute. So what do? You try to figure that out. You go in and say, well, what does 61.810 subsection F mean? It means this. Discussions or hearings that might lead to the appointment, dismissal, or discipline of an individual employee, member, or student. However, general personnel matters may not be discussed in private. Okay, so now what do we know about what they're talking about? We all assume and we all think, and the rumor mills are rolling about that it's about Vince Tyree, and I think that's a pretty safe bet.
Right.
And then they're talking about, well, it's because he's got this no-compete, and we think, well, that seems logical. They're going in there to talk about that. Well, according to this, they couldn't.
They couldn't discuss the no-compete?
That's not what this is for.
Okay.
So open records does not allow you to go in to talk about general personnel matters like the no-compete. What it may allow you to talk about is, who are we going to appoint in Vince's stead?
Ah, okay.
All right. So the discussion or hearing that might lead to the appointment, dismissal, or discipline of an individual employee. So we can pretty much, I think we can say that Vince wasn't under the gun of dismissal or discipline.
Right. But this seems to be his choice.
Right. This seems to be his choice. And so then we're talking about, who are we going to put in there instead? So they've announced that we're going to go into these closed sessions, and they did the same thing. Both yesterday's meeting was adjourned into executive session, as was today's EULA meeting, moved into executive session 61.810, subsection 1, subsection F. Those are the only provisions that they've cited for why they're going into executive session. So what that means is, perhaps they're just going in there to talk about who the next guy is going to be. But it's not all of this wide, you know, widespread debate and discussion about what are we going to do with Vince's no compete. That's the way I read that. Now, the other thing I found
is that piggyback off of what Crawford tweeted, saying that sources were just discussing that. Well, see, this is the thing. Like, at some point, I feel like they had to have brought it up, right? I mean, because Crawford said that sources,
right,
that Neely Bindaputi and the Board of Trustees weren't going to stand in the way of Tyre if he wanted to leave.
Well, now that might be the general consensus, and there might be, and I do not question Eric's sources,
right?
But I'll tell you this: when you're in executive session, and you're in its closed session, it's not for public consumption.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to tell anybody about what you talk about. That's the purpose of executive closed session. So makes if sense. You do, then you're violating the open meeting law. Well, what's the problem with violating the open meeting law? What happens? Well, you can be fined. That's one thing. An administrative body can be fined because they've been found to violate the open meeting law. The other thing that can happen is whatever action that you take in the open meeting or in the closed meeting of the supposed open meeting, whatever action that you take, it can be stricken. So it can be reversed.
Oh, okay.
So there's reasons. It's, you know, there's reasons not to violate it. I mean, and that's a real rare exception, you know, or a rare thing to have happen, but it is possible. Right. More likely what would happen is that the offending agency would have to pay a fine.
To who, though?
I don't know if that's the attorney general. I'm actually general counsel for a state board.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And thankfully, thanks be to God, we've never had to deal with that. So, but the idea is not just good. that we want to make sure that we don't violate the open records law or the open meetings law. Now, there's a lawyer interesting document that the Attorney General's office put out, and talks about additional considerations that you need to take into consideration, or additional thoughts to take into consideration before you go into closed session. And one of them says this: before going into closed session to discuss a personnel issue under the statute, the same statute that they used, an agency must state whether the discussion will relate to either the appointment of, the dismissal of, or the discipline of an individual employee, member, or student. But the agency is not required to identify that individual by name. So, where I think Tim is right,
mm-hmm.
is he's, you know, you didn't tell us what you're going to do. I mean, you don't have to tell us who you're doing it with, but you have to say what the issue is. Are we going to appoint somebody? Or are we looking at dismissal?
Right.
So
okay.
That gives you some idea
you
of the transparency.
You can't leave them completely in the dark.
Right.
Like, okay.
Right. And so now you've got two open meetings that went into executive session based on that provision of statute. And in both cases, they didn't tell you, are we talking about appointment? Are we talking about dismissal? Are we talking about discipline? And they're required to do that. So, Tim, I think you're right. The other thing I'll say, they were never going to not go into executive session, because in a special meeting, in any meeting that's called, you can have open meetings anytime, but if it's not one of the meetings that's regularly on your calendar,
mm-hmm.
then it goes down as a special meeting. Statute says for special meetings, you have to have an agenda, you have to post it conspicuously, and in the board's case, they put it on their website at least 24 hours ahead of time. They also post it at the place. Everybody who's been over to Grawemeyer Hall has seen the posting of the agenda. Right, mm-hmm. And it has to be there for 24 hours prior to the start of the meeting.
But they don't have to say exactly what they're talking about.
Right.
They
no, just here's the agenda, and it's the same thing as you see online, right?
Okay.
But yeah, so I mean, when they do that, when they have these special agendas, they can't deviate from them. That's another part of the open meetings law. So if it's as they're going into executive session, then they have to go into executive session. They can't say, oh, we changed our mind. Or, you know, maybe 10 minutes before the meeting is scheduled to start, some really big important topic comes up, and we're all in the same room, we'd all like to talk about it. You can't, because it's a special meeting, and you didn't have it posted as an agenda item 24 hours prior to the meeting starting.
So hypothetically, they're in this closed session to discuss what we don't know, because they haven't told us, and the NCAA finally lays the hammer down, because it sounds like something they would do.
Right.
Wait for the most inconvenient time after kicking the can down the road for about what seems like half a decade. They couldn't be like, oh, crap, we have to talk about this now. They would have to, what, adjourn that meeting?
Adjourn that meeting and then they have to have 24 more hours, because they've got to post the agenda. They've got to put it at the meeting place, on the website, things like that.
Oh, my goodness.
So when they find these things out, they can't just immediately run in and have a real quick board meeting.
Okay.
So
well, I didn't know all that.
Yep. So that's kind of the interesting part of it. Now, so I'm left to surmise they must have been talking about appointment, because I don't think there's been anything that looks like it's going to be discipline.
Right.
So it looks like they probably are talking about appointment, and who are we going to appoint? Well, everybody talks about, you know, the interim, you know, Hurd, I think is his last name. I can't recall it. His
John, first, I think.
John or Josh, so. Or something like that. Yeah. And so if they're talking about that, that's fine. But they were required to say kind of what it was that they were going
to
talk about.
Didn't have to mention names, but had to talk about what the general topic
was.
So the fact that, because what I want to ask you now as someone who's a lawyer and has maybe seen this or heard about it, studied it at least, why?
Come on, pump the brakes on studying. I mean, let's.
Apologies. Yes, I didn't mean to paint that photo of you. But why? Why would they? And it might be a really stupid question, but if this isn't, because I can understand why they would want to be Johnny Tightlips on it if it had to do with discipline, with the NCAA just hovering around and wanting any blood in the water to pounce on them. But this doesn't seem to be that. So why would you want to keep it so close to the vest?
Well, I think it's a very fluid situation, and I think there's a lot of folks that don't have any idea what's going on. You know, the question is it the buyout? Is it this? Has he been offered? You know, all of these different things, and no one really knows. I think, and I don't know what the university knows. I don't know what Vince has shared with Neely and back and forth. Like, has he said, hey, I've got this opportunity? I would think that there would have been some communication that they would have had.
Right.
And so then it would make sense that they would probably bring the board together as well as the EULA board together to try to figure out, okay, this is who we're going to appoint if, in fact, this is the way it goes down. That's my best guess. But again, there is just a small technical thing where it says that, you know, you're supposed to come out and say, what is it that we're talking about? You know, and you can't just say, oh, it's a personnel matter about hiring or firing. It has to be, well, if it is about hiring or firing, you can do that. Appointment, dismissal, discipline of an individual, employee, member, or student. That's the language that the AG's office used in their guidance about open meeting and open records laws. So, I mean, the whole idea of it is it's supposed to be transparent. You know, it's not a corporate deal. Like, if we were in a for-profit company, we can come together and close the doors and talk about whatever in the world we want to talk about. But with it being a university, state funds, all of those different things, they have a level of transparency that they're supposed to adhere to. They have some provisions to allow them some ability to deal with some, I don't want to say secretive, but for lack of a better word, secretive things. And then the rest of the time, they're supposed to be pretty much out in the open in front of everybody.
Okay, so that's what I was going to ask. Like, who is this? Do these same rules apply to everybody, or what? Which ones of them apply to universities, and what would the difference between? I mean, is there any difference between UK and U of L?
There's no difference at all between UK, U of L, Western. All of the they're all state bodies, right? They're all governmental.
They're not private institutions.
Correct. Okay. Correct. But so, yeah. So like if Spalding, if they wanted to go into a board meeting and have an executive session, they're not bound by open records, you know, because they're not a public state school. Right.
Okay.
But if you're, but you know, we think JCPS, think, you know, the board of, the Kentucky Board of Medical Licensure, you know, any professional licensing organization, the bar association, all of those things where they're state agencies, when they have their meetings, whether they're bimonthly or quarterly or whenever they are, you have to adhere to the open meetings rules.
Okay.
So, yep.
He is Keith Pointer. I'm Nick Valvano. We're in for Bobby V today on the V Show. At least hour one, we're going to have, this is good. We're going to have Keith breaking down some of the legal jargon. He is our, I said this, you're like our lawyer consigliere when it comes to any of this stuff. You come
Thank
in.
You.
I probably butchered that Italian term.
Well, that's okay. I don't know what it means anyway, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm not really Italian. I'm like Chef Boyardee Italian, so I probably said that wrong. Patty Ice was boots on the ground for us, so he's going to join 12:30, just mention what he saw, what he heard. Even if it was a whole lot of nothing, it's good to hear it from someone who was there. We might wrap up with a little U of L football talk, you know, a little bit. That'd be the icing on the cupcake, a little bit more of a fun topic. 437-968 UPS Jobs text line. Your text, by all means, welcome into the show. I don't know, legally, are you allowed to give legal advice for free on the text line? People are going to be texting like, yeah, so
I fell down at the local laundromat, right? And I broke something. No, I mean, I won't do that.
Keith Porter, personal injury.
That's right. Well, that is what I do, right? But you know,
right.
But you know, but yeah.
But I mean, to make it.
But no, we won't.
Radio show.
We yeah, won't.
If you're good at something, don't do it for free.
That's
like,
right.
Yeah, I don't want you, you know, giving away the goods here. Come on, come on now. Yeah,
we only get paid if we win or settle your case. Come on. no, we're. Yeah, I mean, I won't give you legal advice, but if you ask my opinion about something that's, you know, that's legally relatable, I mean, then sure, I'll tell you what I think. Now, what I tell everybody as it relates to the law is this. The Supreme Court all has a gazillion cases over the course of their history. It's 5-4, right? Five on one side, 4 on the other.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that the 5 that were right were really, really right and the 4 that were wrong were imbeciles? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It just means that 4 people had one opinion and 5 people had a different one. So, what I tell everybody is if you hear something from me and you don't think it's true or you don't think it's accurate, you don't like it, ask somebody else. I mean, there's, you know, but, you know.
Right. This isn't the 4 yeah. out of 5 dentists agree.
Correct.
What is the best toothpaste?
And that's the thing. Is. That's the thing about law is it's good for a BSer, right? You can kind of float through the whole thing. You'd have been a tremendous lawyer, Nick. I mean, good night. You could have produced during the day, gone to school at night. It would have been amazing.
Oh, maybe that's, you know, Nicky V, attorney at law.
Valvano and Pointer, attorneys at law. What
have
can
the
we
Perry
do for
Mason
you?
Thing. Just object, Nick. We're in the hallway. Like,
I strenuously object.
437-9680 UPS jobs text line. This texter kind of, I want to say, kind of goes into a question I wanted to ask you. Because it's sports radio, so of course we have to make mountains out of molehills. We have to over-speculate. And right now, I can't tell if this is good or bad, because it was something that we said. I think I coined it. You know, pat myself on the back. We talked about this on the producers back in the day. There's nothing worse to the human psyche than the unknown. I mean, so many things have been written about it, all the deep poets and everything like that. No, the unknown drives people crazier than anything. And right now, maybe that's a, like Drew said, there's no better place in America for sports radio than Louisville right now, because a lot of times we don't know. So we can wildly speculate and, you know, make as a rapper once said, make a small fortune taking small things and blowing them out of proportion. St. Paul Saint, by the way. Great. It's a great lyric. With this texter, 437-9680. If you want to be part of the show, Keith Pointer, Nick Valvano, in for Bobby V. This texter says, if the rumor is true that Tyree had the Brom deal done and Neely axed it yet again, would you consider that a fireable offense by Neely after the Mac blunder? What I want to ask related to that text, and feel free to, you know, answer that text in of itself, but is there any, because again, wild speculation, but it does seem that there's a schism right now between the president and the athletic department.
Right.
And whether or not that's just solely on at Mac, that's solely with Vince Tyree, I don't know. But it definitely seems, I feel like it's fair to speculate, and again, this is speculation. We don't know. I mean, maybe Neely and Vince go to Dave and Buster's when they get done, and you know they play air hockey together. Who knows? But it definitely seems that there's a schism there. And with this silence, is there any sort of legal Game of Thrones positioning that they, I mean, Eric said that Neely and the Board of Trustees weren't going to stand in Vince's way, according to sources, obviously. Is there any reason why maybe one side is trying to be a little careful here and CYA?
Yeah, I mean, as a lawyer, you tell your clients almost all the time, the less you say, the better.
Right? I would be a terrible
Oh, you'd be a horrible client.
Yeah, yeah, I'd be a horrible client.
I mean, so when you go into depositions, the thing you tell folks all the time is, look, if you find yourself talking a lot, find an off-ramp. Figure out where you're going to shut up. Because no one's listening to you because you're just fantastic orator, right? They're just trying to find things to pick your story apart.
Right.
And so, you know, that's why a really bad attorney will ask yes, no questions, because you can say yes, no, and with no elaboration. So you have to ask these questions that kind of peel the onion back a little bit. So as an attorney, what you tell your client is let's not give them anything that they can make hay with. As a parent, you see the same thing, right? Like you talk to your kid. Well, for example, you don't have a kid. We'll talk about you when you were a kid.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. None that we're claiming yet. so, you know, but when you were a kid and you get in trouble and your dad calls you in and he's like, listen, I need to talk to you about Saturday night. Okay. Yeah. I mean, which part of Saturday night do we want to talk about, right? I mean, and if I'm your attorney, I'm coming in going, Nick, make sure he tells you what part of Saturday night he want, you know, you're going to talk about. Because if you start admitting to this, this
where
and this,
were you in high school?
Right, right. I mean, and so as a parent, I've learned more about what my kid did than I ever knew, just based on open-ended questions and letting him kind of hang himself. And my right. kid's been great; he didn't do anything that, that caused him to hang. But I mean,
yeah,
just
I was a nerd in high school. I didn't really get much.
It's just in general that's how you do it, right? So these folks are all lawyered up. Vince has got his attorneys, and Ely has her attorneys, and they're all telling you, "Don't say nothing." The problem is. For the university, for the fan base, for probably even for the football program, it's kind of difficult because you've got this athletic department that's in turmoil. You know, so if you're wanting to hire a coach, if you wanted to recruit a player, if you wanted to do anything with anybody, there's going to be folks out there going, you guys are crazy over there. I mean, you're having special meetings and who's going to be the AD and what's this and what's that? So, you know, I read the text that the texter sent in about the rumor. If the rumor is true, is that a fireable offense? And I don't really know exactly what they're are they asking. Is it fireable for Neely to fire, you know, Vince, or is it fireable? Is it okay for Neely to be fired because she stepped in the middle? I mean,
if I had to guess based on the attitude of the fan base and who listens to the show, that would be more for Neely to get the axe. And I don't know. It seems like there's indifference towards Tyre. There's anger towards Neely.
There is. So. And I think that the unfortunate part for Neely is, you know, there is just this, you know, so much secrecy around it. No one knows who's doing what. I mean, there's not been a statement that's been made. And for the reasons we just talked about, why you wouldn't. Everyone's left to speculate and to get mad. And all we really care about is do we win or not. Right, like
right.
If you beat Virginia, if you don't lose to Clemson, if you don't get absolutely destroyed by Kentucky, these are all conversations we're probably not having.
That's a fair point. You know, that's a fair point.
I mean, and so if you go instead of 6-6, you're 9-3. Okay, then we're not. Then of course he's coming back, and who cares if you know the defense bend don't break, whatever. But when you go 6-6 and you get housed by Kentucky, now everybody and. Oh, by the way, the local kid's 8-4 and has 2 top 5 victories up in West Lafayette. It's a real mess, and so I mean that's kind of where we see it. But yeah, do I think that the way Mac's situation was handled, or do I think the way this whole thing has been done would be grounds to fire Neely? I kind of doubt it, and I don't think that. I mean, I think the boards in general are looking at bigger picture things than just athletics. Right.
Let's say they seem unpopular, but and I don't want to say unethical, heavy-handed, but they don't seem illegal by any stretch. Or
yeah,
I mean, you could disagree with it. It's like it's a difference between. I feel like it's like a parent like grounding the crap out of their kid and screaming. It might be like, well, that might be the healthiest way to deal it, but they're not beating the kid with a toaster, so it's not illegal. You know, it's one of those things.
Unadvisable, but not illegal. Right?
Yeah, exactly. There you go. 437-968 UPS Jobs text line. Keith Pointer at Ville Sports Law. If you want to follow him on Twitter, I do that. I'm Nikki Vespin on Twitter. If you want to follow me, I don't really give legal advice, but I retweet photos of puppies. So, between the two of us, we could probably make your life a lot better. It's the V Show. Keith Pointer, Nick Valvano, and for Bobby V, 437-968 UPS Jobs text line. A couple more texts before we get to the bottom of the hour. Then Patty Ice will join us on the other side. This texter says, what process does the university and athletic department have to follow to hire an athletic director or coach?
So with respect to the process, sometimes they'll go with a search committee. And I know when Tom was here, he was the search committee, right? And so I don't know the exact process that they have to do, but they ultimately, whoever they decide, whether that's the president or a search committee or whoever they land on as their final candidate, they bring them before the board and they have these executive sessions where they say, okay, we're going to close off and we're going to talk about appointing A, B, or C.
Now, to go back to what we discussed earlier, in that closed session, they would have to legally say that they are talking about filling XYZ position, but they don't have to say who they're talking to.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And that's not in the statute, but that is in the attorney general's opinion. And they wrote a 40-page booklet about open records and open meeting law because it's kind of cumbersome, right? So they did this whole big thing and said, here's what the statute says. And oh, by the way, you also need to consider this. And then all of it's subject to court interpretation and having a judge or a court of appeals or ultimately the Supreme Court make a decision. But suffice it to say, it's pretty well settled that you know, if the Attorney General has put it in a published opinion that you need to say this is for dismissal or appointment or what have you, again, without saying who it is, that this is what we're talking about.
Okay, fair enough.
Yep.
437-968 UPS jobs text line. Texter asks, was there anything Marsha Clark could have done differently to convict O.J. Simpson? 437-968 UPS.
You know, I use that case all the time when people are like, what's my case worth? And I'm like, dude, look, who knows what a jury's going to say? You know, I'm pretty sure I was pretty sure O.J. should have been convicted of murder, but they didn't. So what's your case worth? It's worth whatever 12 people will give you. So.
Fair enough. I like that. That should be a T-shirt. 437-968 UPS jobs. Text line, Keith Pointer. Nick Valvano in for Bobby V on the V Show Tuesday. A lot of these are all kind of focusing around, they want your opinion on what the enforceability of a non-compete clause is in this situation. There were about 2, 3, 4 that came back to back to back related to that.
So non-competes, there are a number of things you'll hear when people talk about non-competes. There are some people that'll say, oh, you can't enforce a non-compete. It's garbage. That's not true. Right. I've got a friend of mine who had a non-compete, and not as an attorney, because here's a fun fact. Non-competes don't work on attorneys.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's right. Who writes the law, Nick, right?
That's a good point. So, I mean, well done out of you guys.
It's like, I don't think I want to have – now, we've got rules of ethics that say we can't represent folks against folks we've previously represented.
Okay, that's fair. That one, yeah.
But we're not allowed to be restricted as far as I can work here today and I can leave and go work somewhere else tomorrow. But – with respect to non-competes, the thing they look at is duration and space, right? So if you're doing a job, they typically say, is the non-compete for a year reasonable? Courts have held typically it is. Is the non-compete for 2 years reasonable? Not as much, but right. But maybe, right? Longer than 2 years, you're going to have a really, 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 really strong reason. Things have to be so proprietary and so blown up that gives you a reason. The other thing they look at is geographic space. You're doing radio in Louisville, Kentucky. You have a non-compete. You probably don't. But you've got a non-compete, right?
That's hilarious.
So you've got a non-compete that says you can't go produce anybody else's show, you know, this part of your non-compete.
So all those texts from Terry Miners have been
getting. That's right. That's right.
Sorry, Terry.
Sorry.
Sorry, Terry Bear.
Yeah. So, you know, geographically speaking, you can't do it here in Louisville or Southern Indiana or within 30 miles, 50 miles, 70 miles, whatever the area is. But you want to go to Mississippi, or God forbid, why would you want to go there? But you would want to go to Mississippi, or you'd want to go to Texas or California or wherever.
I'm the voice Biloxi needs.
That's exactly right. So they're going to – can you imagine your voice in Biloxi?
What did he say, Jimmy?
Oh, my God. Get that. Yeah. So
I'd have to practice my Brian Kelly fake Cajun accent or something. Yeah.
It's amazing. So, yeah, but they're not going to restrict you geographically to all of, I mean, it has to be reasonable. So they can make you sign one. They can throw it out there and say, if you don't sign this, we're not going to hire you. But then the enforceability of them when you start talking about that. Now, look at Vince. There is no time frame that he's looking to lay out. He's looking to leave Floyd Street and go to Tallahassee.
In conference.
So, I mean, there's your...
In division.
So there's your competitive, you know, reason that you would have this non-compete. And, you know, Neely's, it appears, if you believe what you read on Twitter, and who wouldn't, it appears that they're saying we're not going to stand in the way of that because, you know, just, you know, to hell with the cheese, just get, you know, just get out of the trap, just go. So,
right.
You know, Blank, that really offended Blankenbaker earlier this morning. He wanted to make sure we got some compensation for him being, you know, going from AD here to AD there. So is it enforceable? Yeah, I guess it is in this particular situation. Doesn't sound like they're going to.
They're basically saying juice ain't worth the squeeze.
That's right.
But there's enough crap going on. Okay, fair enough. 437-968 UPS jobs. Text line, Keith Pointer, Nick Valvano, and for Bobby V on the V Show Tuesday, reacting to the no actions taken from the Board of Trustees meeting last night, as well as the EULA board earlier today. A couple more texts, then we'll hit our bottom of the hour break. You mentioned this, but audience turns over. If the open records rules were indeed violated, what would the consequences be of that action? Fine to the AG, right?
Yeah, it's a fine to the Attorney General's office. In rare instances, you know, they can undo whatever was done during that meeting, which is not so much of a problem in a personnel issue, except you just go back and have another meeting and do it right. The issue is if you enact a rule or you issue fines, you know, for a certain thing, And if they undid that, then all those monies that you had collected, it would be a huge pain. So yeah, it's pretty much. Hey Jack, it's pretty much a big fine deal. So, yep, that's that.
437-9680 UPS jobs text line. Jack wondering if we go in on a pizza with them. That definitely.
It's not on my diet. It's not on my diet, Jack. Now, so let me know soon. Yeah, Nikki might do it, and I'll smell it, but I can't. I can't eat any of it.
Nah, I'm on oatmeal today, man. Yeah, I ate way too much pizza yesterday.
And I'm told
that hurts. That hurts to say.
And I'm told Jack eats them by himself anyway, right?
Well, I mean, look, Jack and I can house pizza. But I look, we choke when it comes to actual competitive eating. But I was disappointed in my boy knocking down a sausage pie on the take a couple moons ago.
Yeah.
I expect better of him. Now, chances are they're going to bring the pizza in. It's going to smell really good. And I'll throw them a couple bucks and grab a slice. Because I don't want to be can I get a slice guy a la Process.
Oh, is that how that is? That
process
how
is can I get a slice guy all the time? And I'm okay with that because he's also I'll buy first round guy. So it evens out.
Right.
But there's been a couple times when, you know.
What about Greer? Greer throwing on the pie or no?
Sometimes, yes. Okay. But yeah. I think he did a few times. But I don't know. He's probably trying to stay spry because he's got a kid on the way and he wants to, you know, be able to stick and move. I don't know. One last one here. I like the fact that we don't know. I think UofL processes have been way too much out in the open in the past. Take a page from the school down the road and keep it behind the scenes and ignore the request. Thoughts on that?
Well, that's fine, except it's illegal. I mean, if we want to,
could be, you know,
if we want to throw the law out, then yeah. But I mean, the law is the way it is for a reason, right? I mean, that's the reason that we do it like that is because there's public policy that says when you're taking action as taxpayers, who, you know, whether you're a season ticket holder or not, whether you write big checks to the, you know, Cardinal Athletic Association or not, as taxpayers in the state, you've got at least a passing interest in how they're handling their money, right?
And this goes back to the whole shoe scandal, why it was illegal, right? Kind of. I mean, because they were what, state universities, and there was,
yeah, exactly,
corruption going on, and that wasn't
right.
You know, okay.
Yeah, no, for sure. And so, you know, I get the idea that someone challenged me on Twitter last night, which is fun. But she was just saying, she's like, we ought to just, and I say it's a she because I'm pretty sure it was a she. But anyway, she said, you know, what good is it going to do to keep looking into this? It's just going to keep tearing down the, well, you have to look into it.
Right.
I mean, it's like,
don't make the rules. Yeah. Follow. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
I mean, you got to look into what's going on. And if you don't, then you're not going to be able to make any change. So I understand the sentiment. And the other thing is, as a Louisville fan, of which I count myself a member, although it's fleeting.
All of us.
Yeah,
The L's are slightly lower.
The L's are lower than they used to be. And mine's becoming a W for Western Kentucky. So,
Bailey Zappe, baby.
Dude.
He is fun.
Oh, my God. Pro tip. If you've not watched any Western Kentucky football this year, watch their bowl game. They get like 700 yards a game. It's bizarre. Their defense sucks.
But, it's just the track meet.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, I mean, you
like
turn
old school Big 12.
Yeah, you turn it on in the first quarter and it's 24-21. You're like, well, okay. Yeah, I'm in the right spot. But
four touchdowns away from tying Joe Burrow. See if he can get it done in the Boca Raton Bowl.
It's highly likely, at least possible. But, you know, you have to look into things. You know, you have to look into why it is the way it is. And you've got to make improvements. So,
fair enough. Well, 437-9680 UPS jobs text line. If you want to be part of the show, we'll take a bottom of the hour break here. More V Show on the other side. Patty Ice, I think, will be joining us. He's Keith Pointer at Bill Sports Law on Twitter. Nikki Vespin, that's me. Nick Valvano in for Bobby V. It's a Tuesday on the V Show. ESPN 680 105.7. Yep, it's the official walk-up music of one Keith Pointer, our law consigliere here at ESPN Louisville, especially at the V Show. At Bill Sports Law, Keith, always appreciate you joining us in studio. Patty Ice!
What's going on?
He was our boots on the ground this morning at the no-action EULA meeting.
The no-action EULA meeting. Well, yeah, the funny thing real quick before we get into to the no-action EULA meeting is go to Bowling Green Friday to take a couple depositions. Right?
Nice. Okay.
Defense attorney looks – I'd never met this guy before, and I was covering a deposition for somebody in my office. So I walked in, introduced myself, and I said, "Hi, I'm Keith Pointer." And the guy looks at me and goes, "Are you the guy that does the Louisville stuff?" And I said, "What do you mean the Louisville stuff?" He's like, "The UofL stuff. You do that?" I said, "Yeah, a little bit." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, I follow you on Twitter." And I was immediately embarrassed because immediately you start flashing through the Rolodex of all
what
the things.
What I say.
Which words? And my wife's all the time giving me grief about it. So, yeah, there's that. But, yeah, so follow me on Twitter if you like, but at your own peril.
At Ville Sports Law.
Yeah.
We all follow Keith. He's a good Twitter follow for sure. And we have at Pat _ Jaggers, Patty Ice.
You know what, Nick? While you're at it, what's your Twitter?
I was going to shamelessly promote it like at least 40 times during the show. At Nikki Vespin, I'm on the road to 3,000. I'm on the road to 3,000 followers, and this is lame. We'll do a quick sidebar before we get into. We have a caller, Kevin, who wants legal advice. By the way,
Say nothing, Kevin. Don't say a word.
Don't say a damn thing.
That's my advice.
It's called shut the hell up and you go first, huh?
You've seen the video, right?
Which one?
The two lawyers out in Colorado that have shut the F up Friday.
Yes, that is a great ad.
Brilliant.
Campaign. That is a great ad campaign. Yeah.
But, and good legal advice. But go ahead.
Well, no, actually, that leads me to a more on topic question because my whole thing was going to be, like, I want to get verified eventually. And I was comparing myself to my paisana friend, Anna Tarullo, because we were kind of neck and neck for a little while. But now she's on TV, and she's way prettier than me. So she's got, like, 8,000 followers, and I'm still hovering at just under 3. But, no, what I wanted to ask you was, do you guys get along, defense attorneys and prosecuting attorneys? Like, is it just like, hey, it's nothing personal. We're just trying to figure out the law. Or there's some guys like, I don't even care. If his guy's innocent as hell, I'm going to beat him. Like,
so depending on what you're talking about, right? Like in the criminal bar, there have been a number of times where I have felt that the prosecutors, you know, because the work I do on the criminal side is defense work,
right?
There are plenty of times where I have felt like prosecutors just want to win. Like, you know, I'm going to get this. I'm going to get the win.
Doesn't matter if lives are at stake. Right. They just want
the dub. That's because we're competitive. Like, nobody wants to go in there and be like, I probably didn't make my case. You got me. You know what I mean? So that gets frustrating. But typically, we have a pretty good rapport with one another and get along okay. That doesn't mean there are people out there who think I'm a dirtbag, and there aren't people out there I don't think that they're a dirtbag. It just depends. Now, on the civil side, the vast majority of us get along pretty well. With some exceptions, there are some guys out there, and I say guys generically, there are guys and ladies out there that we're just like, we'd prefer not to handle a case with that person.
Right.
I do some work comp stuff, and that bar is just incredibly friendly because we're all just sort of plodding along through there trying to help folks out or whatever. And so that's fine. But typically, I mean, I've had trials with folks before, and my wife came and sat and watched an entire week-long medical malpractice trial one time in Frankfurt. And, you know, the guy that I was going up against was a really good lawyer, and it was a medical malpractice case, so typically you lose those. And true to form, I did. But I could still, you know, enjoy the, you know, I had banter back and forth with the defense counsel out of the presence of the jury. My wife said, "How could you do that? I mean, how can you talk to that guy? I mean, he's against you." And it's like, it's a gig, you know. It's kind of like, probably like I would assume coaches,
right?
You know,
it's like when they're in there, we got to tear each other's face off. But afterwards, let's get a beer.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's fair. Exactly right.
All right. Well, we want to hear what Patty's got to say from this morning's EULA meeting. But real fast, Kevin, if you can ask your legal question to one Keith Pointer, we'll shoehorn this in there.
Sure, no problem. I don't know how fast I can go, but I'll try. Keith, appreciate you taking my call. You know, when Pitino was fired by UofL, he basically was fired pretty much on the basis of an on-the-spot allegation, and he had no opportunity, obviously, to try to present a defense for himself. And, of course, every situation is different, but I'm wondering about in Chris Mack's case, he's been accused of these Level 2 violations by the NCAA, and it's probably going to be a while before that's resolved. And I think that there's also a prevailing view that maybe from some fans that this is sort of a get out of jail free card for UofL. That, for example, if he misses the NCAA tournament this year, that we go back and say, "Oh, well, he broke NCAA rules, and we need to fire him." And I'm just wondering, if you were his attorney, wouldn't you when you're, can you take a position that, well, if you want to fire him, you need to fire him today. You don't need to wait till see how he performs, because that's not firing with cause if you do that. What's your opinion on that?
Good question, Kevin. Kevin, right?
Yeah, Kevin, yeah. And thanks for the call, buddy. Yeah,
it's a good question, and here's what I would say about that. He's just been accused. The program has been accused, you know, with him specifically named in Level 2 violations. So as the contract reads, is not if you're accused of Level 2 violations, but if you're if it's proven that you've, you know, committed, you know, Level 2 violations, and the only way to prove that is, you know, through the hearing process, you know, whether that's IARP or whether that's, you know, which I guess is what they're going through with, because they merged them all together. So if you tried to fire him now based on the allegations, I think he would lose that, you know, and he would be entitled to his buyout. I think that what you're talking about is the prevailing sentiment is, if we wait and see how he does and he doesn't do well, then you've got kind of got to get out of jail free card. And the answer is, yes, it's exactly right. You do have to get out of jail free card. If he's not doing what you want him to do, and then there's a provision in the contract that is triggered that says, you know, hey, you've been adjudicated to be responsible for a Level 2 violation or above, we can get rid of you without paying your buyout. And that's
with cause, right?
That's with cause,
right.
Correct.
Okay, fair enough.
Yep. Fair enough. So, I mean, it's, you couldn't really go to him now and say, if you're going to fire me for this, fire me now, because that doesn't, you know, he hasn't had a chance to defend it and all those things. The due process, as it were, hasn't, and who said we were going to talk about process anymore?
Yeah, that's a good point.
That caller would have asked me my advice. I would have said, call Keith Pointer.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Ask that guy.
Who is, there's a texter on the UPS jobs text line, 437-9680 UPS jobs text line, that was comparing you to a certain law show. I forgot what it was, though. I can't find a lot of text coming in here. But yeah.
There's a lot of law shows out there.
Was that Handle on the Law?
Yeah, Handle on the Law, that one.
Marginal Legal Advice, where I tell you don't have a case? Yeah, I used to listen to that. Draw my wife crazy.
We can bring it back. Yeah. I feel like, you know, between you and like Ryan Smith, and we've had a couple other legal minds come on the show, and you know, for better
aficionados,
Louisville has been. I feel like everyone has a puncher's chance of passing the bar. Maybe. Yeah. By the way, a texter said I'm 23. Should I go into?
Yeah, should I go to law school at 23? I read that. I had a professor in undergrad at U of L say that going to law school is a lot like running a marathon. If you'll lay really still for 10 minutes, the idea to do either one will pass you by. I just didn't lay still long enough. I graduated law school in 2011. It was hatched in 73, so it was 27. That makes me 38 years old when I graduated law school.
Okay.
Right? So had a number of careers prior to going into the legal profession, and, you know, if you're interested in it and you enjoy that type of thing, 23 is certainly not too old. We had people that were well up in their 40s, and a good friend of mine that I called him Papaw the day I met him, and he's really old now. You know, it's like he was close to 50 or better, you know, when we started. So yeah, it's something that you can definitely do.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought about doing it. Our boy Magic Mike isn't like his entering, I think, his third year.
Oh, no kidding.
Law school, yeah. So, yeah.
Is he at U of L? Or?
No, UC. Yeah.
I don't know much about law, but I do know a lot about grocery stores, and Publix is officially coming to Louisville.
Hey!
Sweet.
Don't know if you guys saw that or not. That is coming down on the Twittersphere like 30 minutes ago.
I always like, look, I'm a fan of Kroger and everything, but and look, I'm a fan of a lot of fast food places here, but I always get jazzed up when something new is coming to the city. Publix, Jack in the Box. Evidently, we're getting a Jack in the
like
Box.
It like gets a Kroger thing. Jack in the Box is dope, by the way. They have one of those in Indiana.
You know what's really good? Jaggers. And I'm not just saying that because Patty's here. Well, partially because
it's like gourmet fast food. It's good.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's good.
I saw that the other night. I've never been there, but I saw it. It was out there off Breckenridge Lane, right?
Great burger.
Yes. Great burger. Great.
Their buns are really good, too.
They got healthy stuff, too. Like, I had a grilled chicken sandwich with guac. You're not getting that at many fast food joints. I don't know how the hell they haven't come on as a sponsor. I mean, look, Patty is right there.
We looked into this, and it's just not.
Did I just do peyote? Was that peyote? Was that payola?
Payola.
No.
Okay, good.
No, it's not payola.
See, this is why one of the added bonuses. I can just turn and be like, hey, did I commit a crime there?
Deep Order can confirm that is not peyote.
Yeah. doesn't even smell like peyote.
Once you're presenting in front of him, this is not peyote. Now, that over there, that might be peyote.
Yeah.
437-9680 if you want to be part of the show. Keith Pointer, now Patty Ice in studio. Nikki V, we're filling in for Bob Valvano today on the V Show. Patty, you were boots on the ground at the EULA meeting this morning. That really nothing came out, but that's what we do at ESPN Louisville. We cover the stories, we do our due diligence, and usually that means Patty has to wake up early and do extra work, and we appreciate you doing that. But what happened today while you were down there?
Nothing. a lot of nothing. Like, that's what was expected.
What a fantastic setup. For
that was perfect.
Nick, you did a great job of the lead there. But
Patty just knocked it out of the
park. To be really blunt, nothing happened last night. Nothing happened today. And unfortunately, unless we hear something from the Florida State side of things, which I've actually reached out to some folks down there trying to, you know, get a better feel for what it looks like down there. And essentially, I don't know what really the what the meetings are like for them down there, how the whole process is going, considering that they're replacing a guy who is leaving at the end of the year and is stepping down. And literally, Florida State's current AD, his last action is to essentially get people caught up on their furlough money and whatnot. That's going to be like one of the last things he does as a Florida State director is essentially make up compensation for the last few months.
Nice.
And so essentially, down there, I'm trying to get just a better feel of what's going on. So I'm kind of awaiting a few texts here to kind of see like what the update is, what's the latest. But it's just a whole lot of, you know, just speculation right now. And we haven't really heard anything from Vince's camp for Vince not to provide any transparency. Like we talked about on Friday, I mean, that's a very big deal. Vince is always the guy that never shies away from getting in front of a microphone, providing transparency. I mean, one of the things that he wanted to do when he took over as athletic director at the University of Louisville was provide that when there was some type of controversy. But if he's no longer committed to being here, why would he do that? So essentially, there's the answer to that question. But to answer, you know, what you're asking me about what's going on with the meeting this morning, I imagine, and I thought Blakenbaker and Cam Teague, they did a really good job of pointing this out with the paperwork they gave us last night, is that Vince's contract, it's a university contract. So no matter what happened at the UL board meeting, we weren't going to find out anything that would tell us, you know, the future of Vince Tyre. And because it's a university contract. So essentially, if we're going to hear something from the Louisville side of things, it would be that A, something got leaked from Vince, or B, it would be from the Board of Trustees. So I imagine they'll have one more Board of Trustees meetings if there's something that has to be done on their end before we find out information. Unless on the Florida State side of things, they already make the announcement that they plan on hiring him. Somehow that process happens. I don't know what the legal ramifications are at that point in terms of like what they can and can't say. But if it gets leaked, I feel like that's the only way we're going to hear something about Vince is either A, Vince is fired, or B, if we hear something from the Florida State. And like, that's the only way we would hear something. And like I said, I'm texting some people down there trying to get a better feel for what is going on with Florida State. You know, if there's Diener any rumblings behind the scene.
Diener brought that up, and he said that typically, you know, when a coach leaves, it's the school he's going to that breaks the news first.
Right.
It's like, hey, we got your guy. And then the school that he's leaving has to be like, oh, yep, he's leaving. We got to get a new guy. Now, with what Patty said there, what in going to the legal side, two-part question for you, Keith. What can we expect time-wise for U of L to respond to what happened? And then what legal I's do they have to cross and T's they have to dot in Florida State for the next, you know, the next step?
So at Florida State, Florida State, I would imagine that they have similar open records, open meeting laws and things like that. So, I mean, I would imagine right. that they would have to.
They are a state school.
They are.
Says it in the title.
So they're going to have to go in and do their part. And I don't know, typically what you see is most state laws, they don't necessarily mirror each other, but they're pretty similar. So I would imagine that they would have a similar process where they say, hey, we've come down with these three candidates and they go in front of their board and this is the one that we're putting up and this is who we think we should hire. And they come out and they're allowed to make the offer or the president's allowed to enter into negotiations and they come up with whatever. And then ultimately when that happens, you know, Vince tenders his resignation. Hey, it's been a good run. I'm out, you know. And he can say that I'm taking the job at Florida State, or he can say, you know, go pound sand, whatever. And now Louisville has to have an idea about who they're going to put in his place. And I think that's what those last two meetings were, you know.
Right. Like we said earlier.
It's like, oh, you know, we've been apprised of the idea that we might be without our athletic director. He's a lead candidate in this position. We've got someone here that we want to put in, and I'd like to have, you know, at least – get the buy-in from you guys before, you know, so when it happens, we're not left, you know, without, you know, let's have the discussion now that could lead to appointment. And so the board goes, okay, well, what's Eula think about it? Well, I don't know. We're talking to them tomorrow. So, okay, well, they kick that all around and have all the discussion that they're going to have. They break.
But don't tell anybody.
Last night. Yeah, they break last night, no action taken. Everybody's standing around like, what the hell? well, surely they're going to go to the EULA meeting and there'll be action after that meeting. No, they go to the EULA meeting. They say, well, this is what we talked about last night in the Board of Trustees meeting. Here's who we're thinking we're going to appoint in this position if and when that comes available. And they go, okay, and then hashed all that out, the pros, the cons, whatever. Okay, cool. Well, what action do we have to take? None, because he hasn't been hired yet. You still have an athletic director.
So this really seems like it's on Florida State's – it's in Florida State's court at this point, the whether or not know, he becomes the guy. And also Vince's as well, if he wants the job and takes it. I mean, it's really – the way I translate it, Keith – up to Vince and Florida State if they come to an agreement, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's up to Florida State to offer him the job and him to take it. And then it's up to Vince, if that doesn't come to fruition, does he still want to be here?
Right.
Right? Because, like, that's the other part of it is all you hear about is, well, you know, Neely is the reason that Chris Mack got a six-game suspension, or Neely's the reason that they didn't go hire, you know, Jeff Brohm. I mean, all of these different wild speculation things. Really, no one knows if that's true.
Right.
I mean,
nothing's been confirmed.
Right. You know, and so at some point, you know, he's either going to be your athletic director or he's not going to be your athletic director. And all of these meetings that have occurred in the interim are probably setting the table, kind of a contingency plan for how do we deal with this if, in fact, he's not here. And then if we do that, how do we deal with it if he is going to be here? You know, and
right.
So somebody asked me earlier today, they said, do you think he comes back? And I really, my short answer is no.
That's what I was going to ask with everything. And also, from, I mean, you were boots on the ground. You're as close to the scuttlebutt as anyone. From a legal standpoint and from, you know, the guy that was there, is there any way that he might return, or is there anything in there that would indicate that, well, they're doing this legally to keep a door open for the man?
Well, I mean, I think legally they're just covering their bases, right?
Okay.
I think that they're just trying to figure out who, if he's gone, who we put in his place. But I think it's not really a legal question as to whether or not he decides to stay. It's really more of a, do I really want to work here kind of question. And
exactly.
Yeah, you know, I think that's kind of where we're landing with that. And so I don't see it. I wouldn't float my name for another job unless I was ready to go take that other job.
That's a good point.
And the other thing is, you know, I wonder if, you know, behind the scenes, like you talked about with the rumblings out there that look, Neely's the one that wanted the six-game suspension with Mack. Maybe at that point, that was a situation where, you know, this is not just an all-of-a-sudden thing with Vince. Like, maybe these feelings have been out there for a while, and that's why this is kind of taking longer than what it really needs to, just because, you know, like you say, at the end of the day, this is a Vince Tyree decision. But, I mean, who's to say that this man hasn't, you know, already had in his mind that, you know, even before this job became available, the Florida State gig, that is, and he was approached for it, who's to say that Vince already didn't have in his mind that he wasn't going to come back when his contract's up in June?
Right.
You know, like, who's to say that that wasn't a pre-decided thing for him? Maybe there were other things that had happened beforehand. Had to have been if, you know, for example, when Pat Forty put it out there, that, you know, the relationship between Neely and Vince has not been great.
Well, I mean, I'm not here all that often, but in the times that I've been here and had the conversations with some of the folks that I've had conversations with, I mean, I think it's been kind of known, you know, that it wasn't good.
A little bit of a schism.
There's been some rumblings behind the scenes for a while.
I mean, I didn't think that it was going to play out like a bad episode of Dallas.
Oh, same.
You know, but clearly this is where we are, you know, and so it's just another shot for the fan base, another little bit of something that we get to deal with, and yeah, makes me want to say go Toppers even louder.
Something we'll get into more on inside the program tonight. But
I was going to say, yeah, you got to promote
that,
man.
I do think it's worth bringing up, though, in terms of Vince being kind of in lingo right now, us not really knowing what's going to happen with Vince. You know, a lot of people on the football side of things are, you know, even though it's well known now that Scott Satterfield's going to stay, and a lot of people are not happy about that, but regardless, now that he's going to be here, there are things that need to be done to essentially make the program sexier, per se. Get people kind of bought back in. There's things that they have to do now that we know Scott's going to be here to really get people to buy into what they're going to do in 2022.
Right.
And that's going to be a tough challenge regardless, because we all know that the Brohm carrot keeps on getting dangled. Mm-hmm. And as long as that's there, it's going to be really impossible for Scott to navigate that unless they just have a stellar season next year. But to get to that point, they have to make changes. And until Louisville has, you know, really some solidification on what's going to happen with the athletic director position, I don't see Louisville making any staff changes on the football side of things until they know who the athletic director is going to be moving forward. I mean, here's the thing. Would you, A, if you're Scott Satterfield, if you're the head coach, would you fire or let somebody go without knowing who the athletic director is going to be? A, and on the other side of that, if you're a candidate for one of those jobs and you're one of those guys that's potentially talking about Scott and reaching out, would you take a job not knowing if the athletic director, the guy that's essentially hiring you, is going to be there in the long term?
For the right amount of money, the answer is probably yes, right? But you know, it's just another stop on your resume. And every one of these coordinators are on a 1 year kind of. I mean, I know it's a longer contract, but it's really, if you suck,
right?
Yeah. As we well know, defensive coordinators get moved pretty quickly.
How many have there been in the last 5 years?
I mean, the shelf life on defensive coordinators in Louisville is not good. Hmm. You know.
But my point is, I just see I have a hard time seeing people taking a job when there's a lot of uncertainty in a specific situation.
I agree.
Yeah, Nick Curran brought that up yesterday. Right now, I mean, what there really couldn't be any changes. I mean, and someone said that with an interim, someone brought up the fact that, well, Tyree was an interim and hired Mac while he was an interim, but that situation was a little different because you literally had a coach that was named the interim head coach.
Right.
I mean, you kind of had a, you know, your hand was forced a little bit there.
Sure.
I mean, Satterfield, I feel like some people will say, well, he is an interim coach. He sucks.
Yeah.
But he still is the head coach. And I think that, yeah, for no other reason, like Patty said, like Curran said, you know, and of course, if the money's right, we'll see. But it feels like there can't.
I don't see Louisville approving any type of significant budget changes until they have some type of athletic director in place.
It's not necessarily right now a Walt. It's more leaning towards.
Right. There's got to be certainty before they move, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's just me, though. That's just how I feel.
Well, you before we get out of here, maybe you know if you guys want to give a little take or so. Patty, you were talking about things to get excited about. A couple of transfer portal guys from name brand schools coming in. D. Wiggins, the receiver from Miami. How do you say? Is it
Tyon Evans?
Tyon Evans. Okay, that's how I said it in my sports center. I wasn't completely confident in that, but he was banged up last year. But you know, pretty highly touted, the number one running back out of South Carolina.
If he can get healthy, he's going to be a pretty solid back for them, and should compete for either. I don't know if we get the starting position. That's going to be a battle between Cooley and Jalen Mitchell, but I mean, he should be right there with one of them, whoever the number two is, because I mean, that guy, he's extremely productive. He's got really great acceleration speed once he hits the hole. I think he's a guy that really can be extremely productive for them. You know, D. Wiggins, I think that's the guy they got in to essentially replace Jordan Watkins. Soon as that kid hit the portal, that was a name that I know that they spent some time down there in Florida. I don't know what the parameters were, what the conversations were behind the scenes, but I do know that that was a guy that they had on campus over the weekend. I know they had Tyon Evans on campus on Saturday. Somebody told me that over the weekend. And, you know, I think that when you look at what they can do right now, I'm still not completely sold that, you know, look, you got another running back to add to that core because you're losing Maurice Berkeley and obviously Hassan Hall.
Right.
And you lost Jordan Watkins. Who knows what's going to happen with Justin Marshall? He's been here a long time, and maybe he wants to go somewhere else where he can be productive. They really need a guy with Justin Marshall's size, but more speed, and honestly, just better. If you want me to be pretty blunt, well,
Wiggins
with
is pretty big. He's what, 6'3", I think. I
mean, he's
a decent size receiver. Yeah,
and the thing that really stands out to me about, you know, what they're kind of doing in the transfer portal right now, Keith, is the fact that I think that they need to get a little bit more defensive minded. Do you go out there and add another linebacker to the core because you're losing C.J. Avery, but you're still going to have Monty Montgomery coming back.
That's
but regardless, I think you'd like to have a guy that's next to Monty with a lot of college football experience. It's a guy I have in mind from Florida State that put his name in the portal over the weekend. I believe his name is Jaleel McCray. He's a former four-star linebacker. I wouldn't be shocked at all if that kid from Florida State is a target that Louisville's after. And the reason why I throw that out there is because he kind of reminds me of Russ East. Like, Russ East had really just a not-so-great time when he was here with Bobby. He put he put his name in the portal. And when he took it out, he came back, had a really good year in year one under Scott Satterfield, got hurt in year two. And when he came back, he just wasn't right. And it was kind of a mutual parting of ways.
Right.
Now, for McCray at Florida State, the former four-star linebacker who had offers from essentially all types of big-time schools, Florida really wanted him. Obviously, he ended up at Florida State, and a bunch of other SEC and ACC schools were giving him offers. I mean, this was a highly touted kid out of New Smyrna Beach in Florida. I think when you look at him, he kind of reminds me of Russ East, a guy that was extremely productive in 2019 and 2020. But not at all in 2021. And I think he could be a guy that could come in here and have a stellar year for Louisville if that's a guy they go after.
Now, I think Pat's got a lot of really good breakdown points, and I think, you know, offense, defense, all that's fine. As a casual fan, right, our biggest issue is it doesn't really matter to me Like if they go 9-3 or 10-2. I mean, I think everybody hopes for the best, but
sure, right.
But after, and this is going to be the, this is going to be what, you know, the albatross just sort of hangs around. You know, this is Scott's cross to bear. After knowing that he's looking to go up somewhere else last yeah. year, it's like, you know, when someone says we need to just get behind him and put this behind us, it's really hard. Right. It's really, really hard. You get really excited. You've got to win at a really high level to stay here. Oh, you're winning at a really high level. Now you're not going to stay here.
Right.
So, I mean, that's kind of where the fan base is with respect to, you know, whether you're the bring Brom home guy who's just tweeting that, that's, you know, ad nauseum or what. But, I mean, it's really hard to get excited about, you know, right. any of the recruits. Now, I'm tickled that they actually have, you know, bigger guys than me that they're bringing on campus. I mean, you know, it's like when you look at some of the guys in the visits.
Sure.
They look like my kid, you know, and my kid's not a football player. You know, I mean, and it's like, I mean, he's probably pretty good at what he does, I guess. But you look at the guys that they lined up against Kentucky. They were huge. Right.
Louisville yeah. looked like they had a massive size disadvantage. So my buddy's
it's
mom,
like a JV team playing right.
Yeah. She has season tickets on the 40-yard line on the opponent's bench about six rows from the field. And she was like, you could just tell at that game that Louisville looked like a JV team against Kentucky and even Clemson as well. And I'm like, I'm talking about a casual fan that barely follows it to notice that. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. And right. and that's just the common fan can recognize and see that. But also, I mean, you are right. Like, when you look at the recruiting section, I mean, it doesn't take a fool to realize that maybe they should be going after some different individuals.
Right. I mean,
big butt lineman, yeah, as I mean, Maben says.
Third, fourth, fifth hand information that Kentucky knew going into this that we're better than they are. Mm-hmm. Like that was the, you want to know what the game prep leading up to that week, we're going to win this game and we're going to win it and it's not going to be close. I mean, and some of that is that rah-rah coach talk, maybe, but the other part of it was we're a heck of a lot bigger than those guys are. We're just going to blow them off the ball, and that's exactly what they did. Right. So
just take care of our business.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to do what
they
we
can't
do.
Beat and they us. Can't, we can only beat us.
Correct.
Right.
And so, you know, you talk to those guys and they're like, there might have been three guys from Louisville's team that would have played for Kentucky.
Mean.
And that's taking Malik over Levis, and Levis right. had a pretty good game. So right, I mean, so you know, you got to get better players, you got to do all those different things. The scheme's got to be better, all of that. And again, we wouldn't be doing any of this Board of Trustee EULA stuff, whatever, if we were 9-3 as opposed to 6-6.
Right, and you're not wrong at all, Keith, at all whatsoever. But something that I think is really interesting. You know, we had this conversation on the drive last night, and I think it's worth bringing up because you bring up, you know, no matter what, at the end of the day, no matter what he does, people might think that he's still going to leave. There's a lot of things that Scott Satterfield could do to show that he wants not necessarily just to be here, but to show that he's really embraced Louisville. And if he does more of that, he's not going to win over everybody because that doubt is still going to be there right. until he just says, no, I'm going to stay after having success. Like, that's the only thing that's going to end it, right? But there are things he could do to publicly show that he's embracing Louisville. Like, after the South Carolina thing happened, and COVID, obviously, it's like that man went into hiding. We didn't really see anything public from him. We didn't mm-hmm. see him really out and about. The one thing that people have really been drawn to Chris Mack is the fact that he's a guy that's extremely relatable. He's a guy that, you know, you never know where you'll see him. You could see him, you know, at Jimmy John's, Qdoba, down the way here. We've seen Coach Mack down there numerous times just on lunch breaks. And obviously Roosters, like, people really, you know, they get drawn to that, and they really relate to it. And obviously the video he had with John Calipari and then the E. Wood video surfaced. I mean,
right.
Chris Mack seems like a really relatable dude to the casual fan. Now, I'm not saying that Scott Satterfield needs to do that, but going out and being more public and doing more things to embrace Louisville, I think would really help him. You know, I think right. him having some type of coaches seminar with local high school coaches to show that he embraces the local guys, because that was something, once again, he was criticized about just a couple months ago. There are things like that that Scott can do that shows he's embracing Louisville. And I think a lot of that will help. Is it gonna buy a large portion of the fan base over? But no, it's the little things. Oh, and by the way, when you get your ass kicked at Kentucky, how about showing some emotion?
Well, and you can't lose. I'll give a little bit of a pass on that because of this year's Kentucky and what was going on with his family.
And the passing of his father. Right, but like right. in general, his press conferences.
That's the problem. Every time he has talked, he hasn't helped himself.
Right.
Like, exactly. Like, literally, it's almost unanimous. Like, he's 0-10 with press conferences, it seems like. So I agree with Pat. And look, I know he's done some stuff locally here for the charities. He seems like a very decent guy.
No, I think
but
so.
But, I agree with Pat that maybe getting out there, shaking hands, and kissing babies.
Be more public.
Yeah, not getting those two mixed up.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, you mix those up, then you're calling me. But here's right. the deal.
Exactly.
here's the deal, too. the fire that he's supposed to have when we're getting hosed on a call, you know, you look at him and he's just like, well, that daggone it, that sucked. You know, shucks. What the hey, man? That's bull.
I love this.
You know, and so it's like, if you watch Clemson, and Dabo is pretty similar to Scott from a, you know, philosophical, probably, I'm just going to make some wild, broad sweeping guesses here, probably politically, probably spiritually, all those different faith things, you know, they're the same guy, kind of, at least right. That's what it seems like. Dabo loses his religion when they get screwed.
Yeah.
I mean, and he absolutely just crawls up in the
if he's
tree.
Any closer to the referee, he's going to have to start paying alimony.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and I would, you know, you'd like to see some more of that. You know, if I could coach that up, I'd be like, agreed. Dude, why don't you lose it? Why don't you get a 15-yard penalty every now and again?
Exactly.
Right, and that's the thing. Like, he doesn't have to go into a post-game press conference and throw a chair and curse at me or anything like that.
Because then he'd be a phony. And his players and the media would be able to – you lose them that way too. I feel like there's a happy medium.
But Scott could go in there and say, we were not good. We game-planned all week to be better than this, and we weren't. And this, I'm proud of our fight. Nobody wants to hear that.
Yeah.
Like,
we were close. We were really close.
Nobody wants to hear that. People want to hear that you are dissatisfied with the product on the field. And I don't know how Scott, you know, really articulates that in his own way in a press conference, but there's got to be a little bit of change there because it's the little things like that that pile up. And, you know, my big thing is as long as there's this carrot being dangled in front of the horse, that is Jeff Brohm, and there's reported interest on their side of things. There's always going to be people are always going to be looking for reasons to not like Scott because they want Louisville Sun. And you know what? There's nothing you can do about that camp. But if you're Scott Satterfield, the one thing you can do is show again and again and again that you're embracing Louisville and you want to be Louisville.
Yep. No, 100%.
He is Keith Pointer at Ville Sports Law on Twitter. Patty Ice, Pat_Jaggers. Catch him 6-7 tonight over on 93.9 The Ville inside the program talking all things U of L football. We'll wrap up the hour. Keith, one parting shot.
Yep.
You Team Satterfield or Team Brohm?
You know, I was actually going to ask Keith that question too.
What one, and you can say both. It's fine.
Yeah.
How about this? This might be a better question. How about what you thought they would do what you thought they should do, what do you think they ended up doing?
So my profile picture for about 10 days was Jeff Brohm, so I would be lying if I didn't cop to that, right?
You wanted Greg
Shocker.
Yeah, so that was my profile picture on Twitter for about 10 days, and you know, there's a large part of you that watches what he does and you can appreciate that, and you feel like you would close the city down anyway, if not the state, with respect to recruiting. And I don't think that Scott's done himself any favors with, you know, to me, he was dead to me kind of were they 3-7 last year, Pat? Was that the record?
I think so.
I think that's right. You know, you're 3-7 and you're interviewing for, you know, for jobs, and the way you have, you know, the way you just sort of ham-handed that that whole situation. So I was of the position that if you can interview at the end of year two, then you can be fired at any time during year three. And if there was a thought that Brohm wanted to come back home, to me, if you asked me to line up Vince Tyra's biggest failure, it was he didn't get his guy. Like that was who he went to get, and he didn't get him.
Right.
Like,
didn't get him twice now.
Well, depending upon who you believe, maybe he had him lined up this time and was excited to bring him in.
That's fair.
So,
good point.
You know, now I want Satterfield to do well because I want my alma mater times two to be good.
Right. Right.
But I don't have any faith that if he does that he's going to stick around. So I feel like we're going to wind up, you know, in a couple of years dealing with the bring Brohm to Louisville chant again. And so
maybe we should all just hope for him to be like Steve Adazio and just go 6-6 every year.
He could do that at Duke, but not Louisville.
I don't think that we're going to see a coaching change this year. I think that's pretty apparent. And,
right.
And so I'm hopeful that he'll have some success, but I think either way, either he gets to be really successful and he leaves, or he's not very successful and he leaves. But I don't think he's the long-term coach that maybe you kind of hoped for for some program stability.
That's fair. Well, he is Keith Pointer at Ville Sports Law. Patty Ice, check him out over at on 93.9 The Ville, 6-7 tonight inside the program. It's the V Show. We are woefully late for a break. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on the other side. Fabulous Phil Baker, he'll join me in studio. And Andrea
Phil in
Adelson.
Space!
Phil is filling space, baby. Exactly. Andrea Adelson of ESPN comes at 1:30. Thanks, everybody. It's a V Show on a Tuesday, ESPN 680, 105.7.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.